Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Bao Vang. She is the Communications Director with the Minnesota North Dakota Better Business Bureau, and she is here to give us some very timely tips about back-to-school internet safety. How have you been?
Thanks, Mo. I've been great. Thanks so much for having me on again. And can you believe it's already September?
No.
School's here.
I know. School is here. You know what's so crazy is that I guess I didn't even think about this topic until you brought it up about back to school and internet. And I don't know about you, but as a mom, boy, I have really been on the internet a ton myself, putting information about our family online. I think it's just to the school or to sports groups, but you never know. But not only that, but the kids are being asked to do that as well with so much of this distance learning. How are things in your household?
Yes, it's a blur, actually, because back to school used to be an event that you look forward to, and there's a lot of energy around this time of year. It almost feels like a renewal of sorts, right?
Yes.
Starting something.
You know what? That's a perfect way to say it. It was an event. Back to school shopping was an event. School shopping was an event. And, you know, taking the pictures when they would get on the bus the first day is an event. None of that's happening.
No. Yeah. It just feels like a rolling through again, from one event to another. There seems to be no beginning, no end, and the kids are confused. They're really confused about what is happening. They don't understand that summer has ended, so they're no longer staying up late and sleeping in, and that now we have a schedule again. My life is a complete blur right now. My kids started school this morning, and we were all online, and they had to log on to their new devices. My six-year-old has a laptop computer now. All of that is very foreign to her. And then on her computer, she has this Safari button that she can click, and she has access to the internet, which should make all of us a little bit wary as we're all crossing off those lists of to-dos for back to school. We should all, as parents, add internet safety chat to it, because online learning will play a big role in all of our lives this year, whether we're full in classroom or a hybrid model, or we're going to be full distance learning. We're going to do some sort of learning online this year and communicating to our teachers and other educators.
You know,
and our students are going to, they're going to be asked to be online.
Right.
And that's where we're going to have a lot of questions around what safety and what's safe to look at and what not so great.
And, you know, it's a necessary evil. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. And I really applaud schools that are able to give every child their own device to take home with them or to have at home, because a lot of people don't have if they have one laptop, that's great, but a lot of people don't have more than one in their family, and it's a big burden in a lot of different ways, but that's a whole other topic. But, you know,
sure
then
is.
You think about, I'll tell you, in our household, we were running out of data.
Okay, yes.
never thought.
We're all home.
We're all home.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and it's just crazy. So what are some of the things that parents can help with, and what should we talk to kids about, and what also is there a teacher part of this component of this as well?
Yes, there is. So let's start off with the BBB urges that parents watch out for risks that are involved in the child's online safety, and it's just a few simple steps to help our children stay safe online, so they can avoid, and your family can avoid, being easy targets for fraud or, someone stealing your personal information and from your bank account. So number one, unauthorized accounts. Okay, so what does that mean? So social networks can be filled with strangers with different intentions than ours. And some kids can falsely create a birth date to meet the minimum age requirement to have an account on that platform. We're talking about the social platforms that kids love these days, and when there is no you know, young children are going on and they're identifying videos or content that are above their age or way too mature, and they're basically lying to go on this site, we're going to be cautious about that. So as a parent, know what your child is doing online. Keep track of the social media sites they're signing up for, they're asking you to help them sign up for, and accounts to which they have access. So please ask for their password, their login information, so you can also understand and log in and see their activity on there.
That's because one. Most of these social media sites are free, right? I think if there were a charge a month for these, enough, you know, more kids wouldn't be on them.
Absolutely. You're right. Most social media platforms are free because there's so many users. They can, you know, the businesses can buy ads and have ads display, and that pays for the site. They don't need the users to pay for a registration account. Mo, you have children who are a little bit older than mine. Do they have social media accounts, and are you paying attention to them?
You know what? Thank you for asking that. I hope I am on a pretty regular basis. I have their passwords. I was a friend, in quotes, or whatever you are, on Instagram. It was just too much. I couldn't deal with all the drama. It didn't interest me. But I know that they are friends on each other, and they'll out each other, I think, if something wacky were going down. Hopefully that's what will happen. But no, it's spooky. And I think you have to keep saying over and over to kids, you know, who are you playing Minecraft online with? Who is this friend from Connecticut? I'm just making this up, but I mean, those kinds of things can happen.
Absolutely, and kids can be quite bold when they don't have to meet face to face. They can say things that they don't usually probably even mean, or their intention is not to say that, but things can be misconstrued as that way, and there's a lot of cyberbullying now. So we have to understand who they're communicating with, what they're saying, who is on the other side of that chat box, for sure. Another item, Mo, is contests and giveaways. So
I love those.
We love contests as human beings because it's fun and it's exciting, and we gamify everything in life because we want that thrill. So even legitimate contests and giveaways collect a lot of personal information. And kids, well, they're just so new to the internet and having access to email and chat boxes and messages that they can have a hard time telling between legit contests and fraudulent offers that will farm personal information. So again, as a parent, just be wary of their activity online.
Okay.
Very similar to contests and giveaways are phishing scams. So this is not phishing as you put a lure into the lake and you grab a fish, but it's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. And phishing is about someone, a scammer usually, sending you a message, luring you in into some sort of deal or offer or giveaway, and then that link will actually put a virus on your computer, or it farms your information. And you've seen it before. There's a lot of bad grammar. It comes from someone you don't know. Check the email boxes, because usually it will be very similar to something you do recognize, but it will be off. It targets adults every day, and it may end up in your children's inboxes. Ugh. Again, my 6 and 5-year-old now have email. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, why?
I didn't think that the day would come. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's crazy.
Email.
Right.
What? Yeah, it's crazy.
And so for people that are listening, especially like my mom, probably, that's going to say, why do they have email that young? It's because of school. You have to have it for school. Yeah. That's your login.
That's exactly
Yes.
was school authorized and school. I didn't set it up. So that did not come from me. But they set it up. The school set it up because it's part of their Google account. And in order to get into their Google account, they must have a Gmail. So my daughter has this Gmail account. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Here's one more thing I have to be on top of.
Yes.
Yes. And it's a lot. It sure is. So I understand. I have empathy for all the parents dealing with this crazy time. So that phishing email may end up in your children's inbox, and because your children are inexperienced, once again, very important for you to check their inboxes and to monitor their account in case your children do click on something that sounds, it is suspicious.
And there are apps out there that help you with this.
That's right.
So that's a good thing. Look into that.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much, Mo. Speaking of apps, a lot of the apps that children use nowadays, they automatically track your location. Ugh. So in order to be wary and to control that, consider looking at your settings for your apps. And you can disable if you want to share your location or not. Or just share while you're using the app. That's another option as well. Parental controls. I do this with YouTube. There's a YouTube like general version, and then there's a YouTube Kids, and I allow my children to use the YouTube Kids, which will automatically already filter any content that's like way too mature or has swear words in them. And I appreciate that, because then that's one less thing I can do and need to do. So we have some ideas here for teachers as well, and. Boy, I'm like, oh, I think about, whoa, boy, it's really hard to be a parent right now. I can empathize with our teachers and administrators who are trying to figure this all out for the first time, right, and innovating.
Yes.
They have to be the back end of all the apps and programs and systems that are in place for our children to use to learn. So we have some ideas for our teachers and administrators. Be cautious about the video conferencing tools. A lot of folks have been using Zoom nowadays, and we've heard of Zoom bombers. Mo, is that term familiar to you?
You know what?
Have you heard of?
I've heard of it, but I'm not quite sure what it is.
Zoom bombers can be quite dangerous. If somebody unauthorized receives your Zoom link, they can enter it at any time.
Oh, creepy.
Appear, and then can say things that are not good, or they can send messages through chat. And it's bad news. So we want to be aware of who has the Zoom links, and we want to make sure that your settings is set where you understand everyone's name, and there's a waiting room. There's such things a waiting room in
yes.
Zoom where you can see who's on first and then allow one by one to come in instead of just allowing everyone to come in as they please. Hopefully that helps. Okay, so then, after looking at your video conferencing tools, you might want to evaluate and update your cybersecurity plans. This is in conjunction with your district as a teacher. You want to make sure that all educators are creating a plan to notify students and faculty and staff should there be a data breach or security problem once classes are in session.
Oh.
And I know that those dates are kind of looming between a few weeks. And then finally, keep a clean machine. So make sure you back up critical lesson plans. You don't want to spend all that time creating a lesson plan for students and then all of a sudden lose that information. We've all been there. Backup plans for personal information and assignments is the best defense against any viruses, malware, and other online threat. And the only way to do this is to stay up to date with the most current software to protect against them.
It's also frightening, and we do have to stay on top of it. It's a necessary evil in many ways, but the less information we give, the better, right?
Yes, yes. And if you have to give more information that you feel comfortable, just know who you're giving that information to. Is that a trusted person? And is it a reliable person? Is it someone that has an agreement with you? For example, a lot of places will have a privacy agreement that you sign that you know and can read right in writing, so you know where that information is going to go or where it's limited to and who it's limited to. Of course, if anyone becomes a victim of a fraud because of this situation or any situation, or you suspect any suspicious activity, please let us know at the BBB. We are a partner with our consumers. Head to our scam tracker site. It's a free public tool where you can report this information, and also we'll share it with your community so they can be warned of any activities that are happening in their community. So it's bbb.org/scamtracker. scam tracker, and also give us a call. We have our folks who are standing by and taking your calls at 651-699-1111.
Oh, wow, such good information and such timely information. Thank you so much. Back to school, internet safety tips from our friend Bao Vang. She is the communications director of the Minnesota and North Dakota Better Business Bureau. And we really hope that people take advantage of some of these good tools that you told us about because we want to stay safe. I hope your kids had a good day today.
They did, yes. It was so fun to see all the new students in their class, so that was exciting.
Oh, I love it. Did you go virtual? Did you see them online?
It was all virtual today, and then we'll be doing the hybrid model in a couple weeks, so I'm looking forward to having a few hours to myself again.
Oh, well, thank you for taking some time for us today. We really appreciate it, Bao. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.